going for your first ever run around the park. Literally running errands all over town. Running for the finish line and your personal best. If you run, you're a runner. Find the shoes and clothes to run your way at newbalance.com/running. New Balance. Run your way.
The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 4 podcast.
We are back. Final hour of this Thursday. Don't forget, tomorrow we'll be on the road. I don't even know where we're going yet. Do you, Randy?
We're going to Mississippi.
Oh, Mississippi again. We like Mississippi.
You can't spell it.
Still can't spell it. Travis is up next in Indiana. Hello, Travis. Two MS. Yeah. Hey, Travis.
Hey, Paul. How are you doing?
We're doing great. Thank you.
Hey, Paul. I got a question for you. I'm a big Kentucky fan here in Southern Indiana, and I know they lost this past weekend. From here on out, there's a big part of the schedule that I'm really worried about when we play Tennessee and Mississippi State coming up. Do you think we could actually run the table all the way through up to Georgia?
I think it's difficult, Travis. When you look at, if you, assuming that Kentucky can win the home games, Tennessee is going to be treacherous at the end of the month.
Agreed.
Missouri kind of depends on where Missouri is at that point, and I'd say the same thing about Georgia. Right now, I think Kentucky is going to have to work very hard not to go 9-3.
I agree. I mean, right now I was reading the article earlier today that Levis is kind of questionable for the game this weekend.
Oh, really?
I'm like, well, that's just great.
I didn't realize that.
But even if he doesn't play this weekend, in all honesty, I do personally believe we'll beat the crap out of South Carolina this weekend. But
yeah, also South Carolina just doesn't seem like they got off to a pretty good start. But I would agree with you on that. Hey, thank you very, very much for the call. Appreciate it. Let's continue and check out Brad, who is in Florida. Hello, Brad.
Hey, Paul, how you doing today?
Very well. Thank you.
Hey, man, I just got a couple things that I figured out. This is about the fourth or fifth time I've called the show. Well, let me ask you this. Have you ever been to a comedy club and you know how there's a two-drink minimum?
Oh, sure.
Yeah, well, I think that's what the Paul Feinbaum show is, like a three-drink minimum before it ever makes sense to you. You got to get three beers in, because many times I sit on my back porch and I'm like, I'm not calling. I got nothing to talk about, especially after what my dogs did in Missouri. I got nothing to talk about this week. But as you watch it and you crack a couple beers and you're like, by God, I got to call in. I can't take it no more. So that happened to me.
Yeah.
I
don't know what the minimum is, Brad, as you say that.
it's three. Three to get through this before you.
I joke about this, but I'm not really joking anymore. I wonder if it's not a bad idea for me just to have a bottle under the table, and I'm not talking about going crazy, but maybe a couple of sips after.
Just a nip.
Because I mean, I'm like everyone else. As you get late in the day, not a kid anymore. Get a little uptight. what about a finger or two of bourbon? What do you think?
That's fair.
Yeah,
I don't think that's crazy.
I don't think that's. I really don't think that's asking a lot.
I do have a couple critiques of a few callers. If you got time, if that's all right,
oh,
sir.
Sure, I'll just grab a sip while you're talking.
Yeah. All righty, there you go.
Bourbon and branch.
Jeff from Columbus. Now, I like the Buckeyes. They got a pretty good program up there. I know this is the SEC, but for God's sake, can we get a different Buckeye fan to call? Let me say this to Jeff. Just because you're up north and we're in the south, you do not have to scream for Paul to hear you. Like every call, I feel like this dude's on a megaphone and he's like, hey, Paul, let me tell you something, Paul. You know, we can hear you, dude. Calm down. And so that's what I got for Jeff. Another one, and I hate to do this because Daryl is a fellow dog fan. I like Daryl, but Daryl, cut back on the coffee before you call, brother. You just don't have any caffeine, man. You got to calm down. He sounds like he reminds me of Macho Man Randy Savage. You remember Randy Savage?
Oh, of course I do, yeah.
You're trying to talk. He's like, let me tell you something, brother. Let me tell you something about the Georgia Bulldog.
Hey, Brad, if I could make a confession here.
Yes, sir.
I just had more than a nip.
All right. I think that's it. I got some stuff,
Randy. What do you got here? This is not like just bar brand garbage. I mean, this is the good stuff. Hey, thank you very much, brother.
By the way,
that is a great Randy Macho Man Randy Savage imitation. He was a big time guy. He was big time. Is he still around?
I don't know
about
SK Mac.
Okay, we got one of the guys that we work with is a wrestler. He's on the circuit, isn't he?
Yeah.
Breaking news. Breaking news. Macho Man died in 2011.
Oh! Little did we know.
How did I miss that?
It's been a while.
I mean, that should have been a big deal, but it maybe it was a big deal
in 2011.
11 years ago, and I was too busy trying to climb over people to get here. Mm-hmm. Jay is in Louisiana. Hello, Jay.
How's it going, Paul? Good to see you and enjoy
you.
Your program. I'll make my question kind of quick.
Take your time.
We kind of got our breath here holding on LSU, but if they could get an offense, I think they might be to beat Tennessee. And if they did, do you think there'd be a credible team in the conference to challenge Alabama this year?
Yeah, because the Alabama game is in Baton Rouge, as you know, and we'll save all the rhetoric for that week. But it would be a significant win for Brian Kelly to have two conference wins already and no losses. That puts him in that feeds the beast before LSU goes on the road, to Florida and a couple of other places.
I got you. Well, I was just curious. I just hope we can get an offense.
I really think this is a winnable game, but LSU is going to need a lot of help. And you know, we've dissected Tennessee pretty seriously in terms of their defensive struggles, but they are so dynamic and so explosive that would be my concern as an LSU fan. Hey, thank you very much for the call. Didn't think we'd be taking that question in early October. Would LSU be a contender in the West? Let's check out Jeff, who is up next again in Tennessee. Hello, Jeff.
Hello, Paul.
Hi there.
You must have a good therapist because some of these callers are real aggravated when they call you.
Well, I do have a good therapist. I live with a trained clinician.
Both my sons are nurse practitioners.
Yeah.
But, hey, Paul, on the deal with Nick Saban making that comment about the fans, that was took way out of context if you really listen to what Nick – I'm a Tennessee fan.
Okay.
But Nick Saban was going on to say the players make the plays, not the fans.
Right. He is right about that.
And I guess some Auburn player or some aggravated player or Alabama hater called it in. I'm an SEC fan. Number one, Tennessee 1, SEC 2. But Nick Saban, you know, he even got up and said there was news – reports of him making statements, which he has not even done.
Well, I mean, in fairness, Saban has always complimented the fans. You know, he may have criticized them, the students, once for leaving early, but that was only to try to help his team. But no, I don't think the problem when you're Nick Saban, everything you say is disseminated and aggregated in the way that the person doing that wants it to be. And there's so much of that in the media these days. I mean, this isn't the good old days when everything was fairly balanced. There's a lot of agenda-based communication going on out there. Certainly none of that right here.
Not on this show.
We take everything right down the middle.
That's right.
And on that note, we'll see you tomorrow. We have to stay for another. Yes. We're going to stick around for 45 more minutes, and we hope you will too. More of your phone calls right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Okay, we have a little bit of an update from Tuscaloosa. Bryce Young is a game-time decision, according to Nick Saban. He wants to play. Randy, did you know that? Are you surprised that he wants to play? I am. I figured he'd take the weekend off. Okay, that's breaking news. So let's get back to the calls at 855-242-7285. And Danny is up next. Hello, Danny. Oh, Danny.
Hey there, Paul.
Hey there.
Hey, Paul. How? Good to talk to you.
Thank you.
I just wanted to give a retort to Legend, because Legend said that the booze in Bryant Denny on Saturday would be for Jimbo Fisher, but I'm telling you that the booze in Bryant Denny on Saturday is actually going to be bourbon.
That's pretty good. Well said.
I've been there, and that's what's happening.
I don't have any doubt Jimbo will get booed, but, like, so what? Usually the opposition doesn't get welcome very very warmly anyway. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it. Let's check in with Russell, who is in Georgia. Hey, Russell.
Paul, what's going on? This is Macho Man Randy Savage calling in, y'all. And I just want to know, what in the hell is the problem with Georgia fans these days? I'm a Georgia fan, but I think Georgia fans are their own worst enemy. We drive ourselves absolutely crazy. You know, almost had 7 heart attacks this past weekend. It was hard to watch that game, Paul. I ain't gonna lie to you.
Yeah, that has become one of my favorite lines in the English language. Ain't gonna lie to you.
Well, you know,
I heard a politician this morning on TV, and he said, to tell you the truth, like, what is that?
Is that an option?
That makes me uncomfortable when they say, to tell you the truth. I ain't going to lie. That was Randy Savage. Steven is up next. Hello, Steven.
Paul, sir, how you doing, my man?
Steven, we are doing fantastic.
I'm your Pro-Am Ross Bridge buddy.
Oh, my goodness.
We hung out together.
Absolutely. That was some good times.
You remember I talked to you about me and you and Mr. Vickers?
I do remember that.
Hey, quick question for you. How many games do you think Brian Harsin's got left under his belt before we do the inevitable? Because he's going to be fired at the end of the year, no doubt in my mind.
I think he has either one or two.
So do you think if Georgia beats him up, which I'm an Auburn fan, but if Georgia beats him up pretty good, do you think he's done Sunday?
Possibly. I think right now, to me, the most important question isn't how many games he has left. It's whether or not his attorney agent has worked out a settlement agreement with Auburn. And knowing his agent, I would think he is well on his way to doing that. And I have not spoken to him, but knowing he's a smart guy, and he wants to get Brian Harsin a job somewhere else. So I would be expediting that as quickly as possible to get Harsin loose. There's no reason to keep going on. Nobody thinks he's going to be around. So why, he's playing the number one, number two team in the country this week. Roll the dice, see what happens, and then you know where you stand.
You know, Paul, honestly, I think I only see one win left on the schedule, and that's Western Kentucky.
You may be right, and I think that's the part that if you're Harsin, I think Brian Harsin can say, listen, we had one bad game against Penn State. We beat Missouri in a tight one. We were competitive against LSU and blew it. And if Georgia wins by whatever, then what else is left?
You know, I know you're flying around a lot, not able to watch the games, but I've watched several of the games, and even with a 17-0 lead last weekend, he looked miserable on the sidelines. I think he just wants it to be over.
Well, Stephen, I will say this to you. I had a conversation with Harsin right before the season. We were talking about something. This was not on the air. And I felt like he was as committed and as determined as any other coach in the league. I saw him again about 3 weeks ago, and I think this was before the Penn State game. I saw the same determination, but I have a feeling that has evaporated since then. Because I think after the Penn State game, there was nothing left. I mean, he put all the cards on the table, all the chips in the middle with recruits that weekend, and he got busted. So, what's happened since has been fairly predictable, and I think it's only going to turn worse. Thank you very much for the call. Attorney William is next from Maryville.
Hello, Paul. How are you?
Well, we're doing great.
Well, I have a question for you in response to what you just said about Brian Harsin. Is there anybody at Auburn, working with maybe your friend Ken Smithmeyer, who has the good judgment enough to allow Coach Harsin to save face and maybe the university elect look less idiotic? Because, you mentioned a settlement. Settlement means both people have to agree to it.
Yeah.
And you got to realize that there's, good and bad that comes out of a fight versus a settlement. But is there anybody at Auburn that's in control of good, good judgment?
William, it's my opinion that there are. And I know that's against the media conventional wisdom that they're all a bunch of crazy people down there. They're not. Every school has these boosters, and some of them where you live, okay?
Right. Well, and
they haven't always made very good decisions. That's evident.
Well, and by saying that, I just think that if they tried the character assassination on Harsin last fall, it didn't work, it backfired. Somebody needs to sit them down and say, look, it's in everybody's best interest to reach a resolution and let this man save face.
Well, William, I don't want to say too much about his attorney, but because you can figure out why I know so much about him. But he's not, he knows he has the cards. Brian Harsin can walk out of there not tomorrow, but at some point and do serious damage to that school. And I would do everything I could to preclude him from doing that.
And I hope our Auburn's smart enough. And,
yeah, but
and,
I think they are. They I mean, I know it's unusual for me because I've been critical, but, you know, all this talk about the boosters and the yellow wood guy. I mean, I will say this about Jimmy Rain. I mean, he's a multi-zillionaire because he's smart. He's got a degree. He spent time at Harvard in their business school. He's run a very successful business. That doesn't make him right about football coaches all the time. That doesn't, and I don't know exactly what role, if any, he played in the assassination attempt of Harsin. There's some people that think he was involved, but he's smart enough, and so are the people that the counsel, the general counsel at Auburn, and all the people that get involved to get this over with in due time and quickly. You understand that you're a lawyer.
Well, I had a federal judge tell me one time in a case in Arizona, and he looked at everybody and he said, you know, if such and such happens, then it's let's make a deal time. And right now, that's what it is at Auburn. It's let's make a deal time and move on.
And the one thing I always have learned, William, these things aren't in a vacuum. While we're tiptoeing, well, Brian Harsin, he knows it's over. His representative knows it's over. Auburn knows it's over. So you give the coach a reasonable chance to make something out of the season, and then and after Saturday, there's really nothing left. Now you have three losses, and you still, if you take a look at the Auburn schedule, it's not like it's getting easier. I mean, A&M season gets easier after Saturday. There's some manageable games. Auburn doesn't have any manageable games. It has a game against the number two team in the country this week, and then it goes to with a number eight or nine team, and then it has a bye week, and it becomes increasingly difficult. So you're at Ole Miss, you get a break, then you have Arkansas, Mississippi State, A&M, Alabama. Other than Western Kentucky, I don't see anything that looks remotely like a win.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
And we got a very serious situation here to talk about with Hurricane Ian, and help people affected by the storm. Donate at redcross.org/ESPN to help the Red Cross prepare for, respond to, and help people recover from this disaster. And we welcome all of you back. More of your phone calls the rest of the way. And I just saw, haven't seen Squirrel in a couple of days. Squirrel is up next.
Man, if I knew you were going to Starganistan this weekend, I would have just invited you to just come stay at the house.
Well, I wish you had. Mm-hmm. I'm looking for a good Yeah, by the way, I haven't talked to you. What a great thrill it was to talk to you and Tony and the whole Squirrel family.
I don't know. It's just me and her, but the thrill was on our part. I mean, I was going to thank you, man. You rolled out the bed carpet and not just you. I mean, everybody associated with you. You know what I mean? I mean, Tony wasn't really a big fan of the show before that visit, but she just thinks you're the bee's knees now. And she's just, so impressed with everybody and how nice they were and accommodating and everything. Did you notice that her and Tebow seemed to hit it off pretty well?
I was a little concerned about that, being with Tebow being a newlywed.
When you offered to take that picture and grab a camera, and man, I've never seen a 62-year-old woman jump on the stage so fast. And Tebow stretched his arm out, man. She just went right up under there.
Yeah, I mean that. And by the way, that arm, when Tebow rolls his arms around you, it's like an octopus.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah. She's like 110 pounds, so she fit in there right, real good. And I'm standing there by myself, so I figured I'd just go ahead.
Well, I know the value, and I tried to take a few cutting Roman out, knowing how valuable those pictures are with just Tebow.
You did cut Roman out on several of them, and the thing is, you told him you were going to cut him out. That was
I was the photographer, and I was just trying to say, yeah. Roman, with all due respect, nobody really wants you in this picture, because when Squirrel and Mrs. Squirrel go back home, Mrs. Squirrel is going to show everybody the picture of Tebow.
Oh, you better believe she did. Yeah, you better believe she did. And I tried to help you too, if you notice. When fans were coming up, I mean, I
did that once. Squirrel, we were in New York a couple of years ago. A friend of mine came up to the studio, and I was doing a show with Stephen A. And I said to her, I said, "Do you want your picture with Stephen A?" And she goes, "No." And I said, and I thought for both of us, I said, "Listen, I know the way that." So I took a few pictures of her and Stephen A, and she showed them to everybody in the world. That's Tebow. If you go home and say, "Hey, look at, I got a picture of Roman Harper and I," people go, "Roman who?"
I've always liked Roman. I mean,
great guy, but he's not Tebow, okay?
Yeah. And I got a picture of everybody I wanted except for JoJo's husband. I didn't get a picture. Yeah, with him, he was kind of busy.
We'll handle that.
And another thing, when Sean McDonough and that Todd McVay, when they went into the van, I mean, man, them dudes acted like they were going camping. They wiped out your snack tray. I mean,
I took Mr. and Mrs. Squirrel into the SEC bus, which I had not been in all year, I mean, I guess maybe that crew doesn't get a meal allowance. I don't know.
It's like they don't get fed or something. He took all the popcorn. I mean, I had to open the door for them, both of them, to go out because their hands were literally
jammed up. And, I think that's.
I didn't want you to think that we went in there and squandered all that. We literally didn't touch it.
One thing, Squirrel, about ESPN. Spending money is not really anywhere near one of their biggest problems.
Oh, I know. They can afford some kind bars and some popcorn bags.
So I usually grab all that stuff on Saturday. I take it. I use it for trick or treat.
I don't blame you. I would too. But no, seriously, we had a great time. And I encourage everybody to get out to the junction tomorrow and visit with you. They don't realize that when the show takes a break, you jump down, you go to the rail, you take pictures, you sign autographs, you do everything. You accommodate people that are there. And so if somebody wants to get a picture with you or Laura sometime, that's a good time. I think Friday would be a better chance.
I mistakenly told a few people, just meet me back here Saturday. And I didn't think about it, but Squirrel, Saturday, there were about 30,000 people there. Oh, yeah. They weren't there for us. They were there for the rebel walk.
Yeah, you can't get there within 100 feet of the stage. No. I was there when Katy Perry was there, and you literally couldn't get within 100
no.
feet of the stage.
And unfortunately, the same – fortunately or fortunately – or unfortunately – the same thing will be true on Saturday morning in Mississippi at Starkville,
sure.
because everybody will gather right where we are to greet the team. And it's a pretty yeah. cool show. You may have heard me say this. I got stuck on Monday about 8:45. I was the last one out, and I didn't realize I had to deal with the 30,000 or 40,000 people to get to the set. I needed your help there.
I'm sure they would have parted. Well, I would have cleared the path.
Well, what I did was I walked down the pathway where the team was about to come, and people thought
yeah.
I was crazy. But
were they cheering you? Were they cheering you?
I think they were in shock because Kiffin and the team was about 5 minutes away. They were coming from the other direction. They're going, why is this guy walking against the grain?
Well, everybody needs to experience the Grove. You got to admit, at some point in their life. I mean, it's a special place on game day. And thanks for everybody. In their hospitality.
Well, you bet, Squirrel.
We enjoyed seeing you.
And
aloha.
Tell Tony that Tebow would like her number. Handsome Joe is up next.
Roll tight rope, Paul Feinbaum. And you know what? Hey, I've been at the Grove. I've met you. The first time I met you, you probably didn't even know it was me.
No, I didn't.
And I got a picture with you, and I don't think you knew who Joe from Red Bay was at that time. But what Squirrel just said is true. I mean, you will go out and talk to people and meet them, and that's what's great about you, Paul. You're not one of these stubborn, you know, stuck up. That no, I'm just gonna sit up here. Just y'all just stay back here and yell. You will get up and you know you'll talk mingled with the crowd, and you know, and that's all good. It is. I'm sorry you had to see Squirrel again because he's. Like Legend said the other day, he's ugly as dirt, but you know what? Squirrel, you know, he don't like me, and why, I don't know why he don't, Paul, because I've always liked Squirrel. I always have, but he don't like me for some reason. But I want to tell you this, Paul. I got an email or a message this morning from my man, and he just simply said, asked me how I'm doing. I ain't had a chance to call him back or, you know, or message him back yet, but, Paul, that day that my – you know, fiance, you know, passed away. There's two people I sent messages to, and that's you and I-Man. And I-Man thought a lot of that because, man, one thing about that is she was asking him, she liked his call better than mine.
Well,
so I just want to put that out there. But I will, if I-Man's listening, I will contact him just as soon as I get off the phone with you, Paul.
Well, I'm sure
but
he is. I-Man's a pretty regular listener.
Right, but I want to talk about Brian Harsin, Paul.
Okay.
And you know what? The Alabama Nation knew that this guy wasn't going to work out to start with. He ain't from here. He don't know the territory. He don't know the culture. I mean, we knew this was not going to work out. And there's two teams that keeps going through these coaches. That's Auburn and LSU. And I think LSU's finally got it figured out. But Auburn, Paul. These guys are dumber than dirt, Paul. I mean, I don't know what they're thinking about over there in the you know, pasture. It ain't plains, it's a pasture, Paul. And they just, you know, they stuck with the coach now. And Brian Harsin, he's just, you can see every interview he takes, Paul. He don't even want to be there. I mean, he's tired of listening to these folks saying, well, you got to win, you got to win, you got to win. Well, he's, you know, he's right in the middle between Georgia and Alabama. And North and South, Tennessee and Florida. And he just don't know, you know. He dumb, Paul. They got a dumb coach. Brian Harsin is
a dumb
garbage.
Coach.
And I don't know if they're going to even keep him the rest of the year. It may save them some money if they keep him the rest of the year or if they just fire him now. I don't know because there's no way they're going to beat Georgia Saturday. I don't care how Georgia played the last 2 weeks. Georgia's fixing to beat them by 30 points at least. Because this is the biggest rivalry or the oldest rivalry in the South. And, you know, these rivalry games, you don't take them lightly. And Georgia does have players. They may not have showed up the last two games, but when it comes to the Barners, they're fixing to blow the barn doors open, Paul. They're fixing to blow the barn doors open. They're going to have a bonfire. They're going to burn down the barn. You know, and Auburn's going to go back to Auburn to their pasture. I mean, they're garbage, Paul. I mean, no disrespect to I-Man. I mean, he loves his team. I like I-Man. But, you know, their team is garbage, Paul. And they've got a blowout coming to them. And I'll say this, too. LSU and Tennessee, I think that's going to be the biggest game of the week. I think it will be. That's going to be right there. That's going to be a big change because if Tennessee can go down to Baton Rouge and beat them, then Alabama's got our – we got our hands full the following week.
We are officially out of time for this program. We appreciate all of you for being a part of it. Some really interesting guests today. We'll see you right here tomorrow.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network beginning at 3 Eastern.